All right, we're talking about one of Rebecca's favorite topics today. It's TikTok. We're going to take a different look at it than probably most of the discussion you hear about it online. So what do you say, Rebecca? What should we do now?
Oh, my God. Russ, like, as long as I've been an esteemed panelist here at the Stream Leader Report, I've been barely clinging on to the leading edge technology conversation by my fingernails. And today, when it's just you and me, poor Claudia is out sick and Rob Greenlee's changing the world at some important podcasting conference. I'm sure you know what it is. It's just you and me. And finally, I get to indoctrinate you in TikTok because I've been hinting at it.
But first, let's do a show.
It's the Stream Leader Report live panel. Creators talking to creators. Raw, real, and unscripted. And sometimes they say the quiet part out loud. Here are your hosts, Claudia Santiago, Rebecca Gunter, Rob Greenlee, and Ross Brand.
All right, welcome to the Stream Leader Report. I'm Ross Brand. Co-hosting with me today is Rebecca Gunter. I'm so glad that we're going to talk about TikTok today because there's a lot in the news about TikTok, and we're not going to come at it from the usual angle. As Rebecca mentioned, Rob Greenlee, hosts the Trust Factor, is normally a panelist. He's at Podcast Movement doing his thing there with StreamYard. And Claudia Santiago is off this week. Hopefully, we'll have both back for our next show. But while it's the two of us, instead of doing a round robin of issues, we're going to focus on one thing. And that thing is TikTok. And, well, there's a big kind of release of information from behind the scenes and negotiations between the United States and ByteDance, which is the parent company in China of TikTok. And a lot of what you've heard on TikTok, and it seems like it's a consensus in Washington among people of all different views, TikTok is not good for our children. It's silly and unnecessary waste of time. It is destructive. It is a threat to our national security. And our user data is all being exposed, grabbed by the Chinese Communist Party. And thus, we need to do something about TikTok, perhaps ban it, or get American oversight or control over it to protect the users. And I didn't necessarily argue with most of that until I saw this report from Forbes not too long ago, and it said a draft of TikTok's plan to avoid a ban gives the U.S. government unprecedented oversight power. Well, that doesn't sound all that threatening, does it? Except when you take a closer look at it, basically, our government is, in the name of national security, basically trying to get the ability to spy on us and censor us from TikTok. So I'm not
sure. And from each other.
Yes. And I'm not sure whether that is in addition to national security and otherwise data concerns, or if that is the primary motivation of all this pressure on TikTok. So that's kind of what's going on. And before we get into other aspects of TikTok, what's your thought on this news, this revelation by Forbes of the actual documents from the negotiations between the Biden administration and TikTok?
Shocker. Shocker, Ross, that the one platform I've seen emerge, probably since the old days of Twitter, it'll probably feel like that to you, has a discourse, such an open discourse, been squashed before us. And I can't help but bring out my conspiracy theory hat and start to chicken little around about the loss of our ability to communicate on this tool, the loss of our ability to discern where our news comes from, the special interest, I mean, frankly, the interest of the stock market and TikTok's competitors. So I beat a somewhat unpopular opinion drum that TikTok is really good for America. And the things in which it's not good for us, maybe things you mentioned, are certainly at play on other platforms. So why TikTok is the villain is completely sus to me, as the kids say today.
Well, again, putting on the conspiracy theory hat, is that the government, and in particular the Biden administration, was reprimanded by the courts for kind of an Orwellian use of embedding itself within these companies, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth, and using that to censor views they didn't like and people they didn't like. And basically they were told by the judge to keep their hands off of these social platforms. So this is a different opportunity, perhaps, under the guise of national security. And I'm not in any way suggesting that there aren't legitimate national security concerns and there aren't data concerns with TikTok. There are concerns about those things with the American platforms. Obviously, a parent company that has such a close relationship with perhaps the Chinese Communist Party and a hostile government is worth taking a closer look on. But given everything we know that's gone on over the past 10 years and so forth, it does seem like this is a way for the government to regain control over its naughty citizens who are stepping out of line with their free speech and these other rights that they think they're entitled to.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Because when I show you some of the content that I've curated for this presentation today, I think you'll really get an understanding why this has got the powers that be, the status quo, shaking in their boots, not only from a competitive standpoint against Meta, but also from a content standpoint. I mean, I think we talk a lot about like how much, you know, Facebook either presents misinformation or is mining our data or is subversive in some kind of way. Don't see them on the chopping block, but also the cultural messages that are kind of shoved down our throats on Facebook. It's very pro-capitalism, pro-traditional family, etc. I feel like it's really just one big Amazon ad at the end of the day, to be honest with you. So when you think about the kind of like, the disease of it, if we will, certainly TikTok isn't the only place that's guilty here. And there's more to think about or be scared of than just data mining.
Well, again, is coming at this probably from a little bit different angle. I'm pro-capitalist in the true sense of capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Facebook and Google are both really trying to become the internet, which is monopoly and not really capitalism. It's, you know, some form of either acquire everything that gets in the way or use lawfare to run them out of business or just steal the feature and make it their own and whatever. And they haven't been able to do that with TikTok as much as they've tried. Yes, YouTube, owned by Google, Shorts has built some momentum. Certainly people are doing well on that. Instagram has Reels, again, another feature, Instagram owned by Meta and Facebook, that both of those features are similar to TikTok and have traction and are popular, but they really haven't taken away from TikTok being a force in the way that, say, adding stories did in, you know, limiting the threat from Snapchat. So I'm a TikTok skeptic. I come at this from a totally different place than Rebecca. I will put stuff on shorts and reels and then go, I don't have time to put it on TikTok, or, oh, maybe I should put it on TikTok, but I don't really pay much attention to the platform, probably because I've been on these other platforms a lot more, and I am a little bit uncomfortable with some of the policies and the fact that ByteDance owns a version in China in which the concept is very much about educating yourself and improving yourself. And TikTok, while Rebecca's going to talk about what is constructive or challenging or thought-provoking on TikTok, I do come from a place of seeing it as a lot of frivolous content, which I'm sure is my own bias because I'm just more used to being on YouTube and Instagram. So with that having been said, Rebecca, what would you like to start with in convincing me and probably some other people about TikTok being a valuable place for Discord?
Yeah, I've got a little show and tell for us.
All right, let me bring that up.
So let's show and tell.
Okay, let's now do that.
Yeah. All right. So TikTok really gets the pushback that you're giving it for a good reason. It seems to me, or it seems to occurs to other people, that it is just this place for, you know, little entertaining type experiences.
Is tomorrow Friday?
Yeah. Why?
Because I think I'm going to get a little loosey-goosey. But more loose than the goose. Because the goose be violent.
So, little videos that are like, you know, trending, audio sounds, point of view, perspective, point of views. Here's another.
Not hearing it or seeing it.
Oh. Were you hearing it before?
I was.
Okay. Interesting. Let's try one more. The beauty of live, everybody.
Yep.
Let's try one more.
Say a quick hello to Claudia, who's one of our co-hosts. Claudia Santiago is in the chat. Thanks for joining us. Even though you couldn't be live with us, it's great to see you.
Can you hear that, Ross?
No, I can't.
Oh, you know why? This is a StreamYard issue. You know why? I'm not sharing that tab instead. Ha ha!
So you have to put each one in a separate tab, or you just have to change tabs?
I have to. I'm changing tabs.
Okay.
So now you should be able to hear it.
I don't want to go to work this week. Instead.
You can hear that now?
Yeah, I can hear. She doesn't want to go to work this late.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I think I want to live in the forest in a secluded little hut. And have a big old cauldron that's bubbling. And I put various ingredients in it, like I've newt.
Here's another good example of what people think TikTok is.
That's exactly, that sums it up.
Yep, this is exactly what you think TikTok is. I'll share this one, you know, not and it's through and through. But what I love about the one I'm about to show you is this true pandemic creativity, which okay. is TikTok came out of the pandemic. It is a single person point of view. And if you can take a note here, we're looking at a storytelling of the xylophone player. It's actually not xylophones on a Whitney Houston song. You can see he's using wooden spoons.
Okay.
If six of y'all went out, then four of you were really cheap.
So, without belaboring our time today.
So he's just got the vocal track, huh? He's just got the vocal track going, and then he's playing the music with the spoons.
Yep, and then if you pay attention, he's a band member in the studio, and the story is when Whitney Houston put two and two together. So if you watch his eyes.
Yeah, because only two of you had dinner. I found your credit card receipt.
Oh. So that's what most people think that TikTok is. Our, you know, silly little POVs, trending sounds, dancing. I don't have any dancing up here today. Or just kind of silly, irreverent things to, you know, to kind of experience and laugh at.
Right.
Here's why I love TikTok, RB.
Okay.
Let me share this tab instead. To me, the beauty of TikTok is about discourse, deconstruction, dialogue, and education.
Okay.
So,
and this reportedly, that is on the platform.
Reportedly, this is on the platform. I'm gonna segue into this discourse. I'm gonna segue into this one with another hilarious creator, but this one is in response to AI.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. Do you have to refresh? Still seeing the same guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ross. I'm not paying attention to you because I'm not on the stream here. You can
just when you're ready, just bring up your screen share and then put it on. Claudia asks, how do you use TikTok for your brand and business, Rebecca?
Ah. I personally don't. Good question, though. One thing I think is really powerful about what TikTok actually does is promote small businesses. And I have an example of that, Claudia, that I'll show you in just a second. Okay. So am I streaming or no with you, Ross?
I don't see a shared screen.
Apologies. Thanks for your patience.
Absolutely. I'm going to see deeper into TikTok than I
You are. I've got a curated presentation for us today.
Seen people do a little bit of how-to stuff, but you're talking about a different type of conversation.
That's exactly right. All right, whenever, add me in.
You're in.
This is a response to AI.
Me into oblivion. Get it over.
Oops.
With tech overlords, rip the band-aid off and give AI my job right now. I'm a stupid human with no marketable skills. It took me 12 years to complete basic schooling. I'm emotional, distracted, and I need lots of time to pee and poop. I need at least 3 hours a day to shove processed food into the noisiest hole in my body. The second I start work, I immediately think of being off work. I need to mildly poison myself every day to cope with the stress of 30 to 40 hours of moderate mental labor. I'll always ask for more money for doing the exact same amount of work. I can't model the future based on current analytics and trends. I can't comb millions of databases in 15 seconds. I can barely do long division with a pen and paper. Any small amount of productivity I have is immediately derailed if I see someone with a huge ass. I'd rather think up dumb little worlds in my head than be efficient or productive. I'm ready to go completely feral and uncontacted for decades until I'm killed in the wilderness by a natural disaster. Well, it's been a nice run for humanity. Automate me into oblivion!
Pause. So here we can see the social discourse is starting to kind of bridge with the level of comedy. So this guy is one of my favorite creators. I love him so much. He ends one video with like, well, back to making money for the shareholders.
Right.
As using that as a vehicle. But they're not all silly by any means. There are people who are discussing very real social issues that we're, you know, contending with in the world today. Here's one responding to opinion pieces about men and the patriarchy and falling rates of marriage and rising divorce rates, etc. I won't play the whole thing.
You just have to share your screen again.
What happened? What keeps happening, Ross?
I think when you're closing the window, maybe when you're done with the video.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, Livestream Universe audience. Thank you for being patient with me.
That's all right. So Claudia asks, so your ROI, do you find it worthwhile spending time on TikTok?
TikTok to me is the new television. it's not really, I don't know if I could find, if you would say I find an ROI of it, except for that I tap into news and conversations that I wouldn't have access to, certainly right. on Facebook or YouTube. Well, you know, some, but there's just a level of conversation and social discourse here that's off the charts. The more I get into it, the more you'll see why we want to ban it. All right, I'm going to try this one more time.
Okay, here we go. When you're ready.
And listen to this absolutely brilliant opinion essay by Christine Emba. It's a nuanced and detailed discussion of what's happening with men today. The podcast, The Gray Area with Sean Illing, also has an interview.
So there's one. Did you get it, Ross?
I heard.
Okay, awesome. Here's another one in which we are... you're going to like this one. Esoteric, but very, very interesting. This creator gives scathing social commentary and razor-sharp technology tech perspective all in this outrageous drag.
Proud. Augmented reality isn't an end product in itself. It, much like your smartphone or your Alexa, is a supply route for resource extraction. Whereas industrial capitalism harvests raw materials from Mother Earth, surveillance capitalism mines our behavior to predict what we'll do now, soon, and later. Businesses then purchase this data and use it to herd, tune, and goad us toward guaranteed outcomes, aka.
And I've got, deconstruction. Oh, just EDU.
The things that she did in an evening and then zooms in on her husband who is sitting on the couch doing nothing. All of her videos are about how he's withholding money from her, downplaying her.
Some more discourse about marriage and family, feminism. Here's the one I think is going to really bring it home for you, Ross. All right. Sorry, Ross. I'm really dragging my feet on this one for sure. I want to make sure that I get this Vanguard guy here for us. Here's a good one on deconstructing the church.
Work is not a result of the fall. Before I offer my perspective on this, to be clear, this is not about Pastor Manny Oranga. He's just sharing a common narrative that is taught in more conservative spaces. This video is a critique of that narrative as a whole. Just a few points. Number one, everything isn't an idol. The body needs rest. The body needs to be taken care of no matter how physically strenuous the labor is, because hard manual labor isn't the only way the body exerts energy. There's emotional, mental, even spiritual labor that goes into work, and I think we should rest and self-care accordingly. Number two, as a descendant of enslaved Africans, my rest, my self-care is a revolutionary act.
Okay. Very good.
It is an act of resistance against the white supremacist culture that worked my foreparents literally to death. Number three, I'm a child of an immigrant myself, so I know...
I should have put together some kind of other video. So, Ross, as you can see, TikTok really is all, you know, we've got the irreverent, you know, I wish I was a witch bullying, you know, Eye of Newt in the cauldron, but also a big public discourse about marriage, gender roles, about religion religious structures, about finance. The one I'm kind of hunting around here for awkwardly is a creator who's taken all of the ownership that BlackRock and Vanguard have in like the top 500 companies and shown how decision making can really be impacted by whether or not BlackRock and Vanguard own majority shareholds within your company. So creators are pulling back the curtain on systems of, you know, that really only serve a small group of people. We're stitching videos on top of each other and creating conversation. There are teachable moments all over the place that teach you how to grow your own food or kind of go off grid. There's a lot of education within the platform that encourage people to kind of decentralize, you know, the US or US systems or US culture, and kind of pull back the curtain on all that stuff. And so I think that TikTok is super powerful.
Okay. So when you talk about a conversation, obviously conversation can be one person saying things and people putting in the chat, cool, agree, you go, you say it, preach, drop the mic, mic drop rather, right? Are people doing reaction videos or videos that are continuing a dialogue? Like, is there a thread where somebody else will come back and say, no, actually what the pastor meant to say was X, Y, Z. And then he comes back and says, well, here's why it's not that, because, like, is there actual discussion going on, or is it sort of, I'm going to give my opinion and then, the opposite opinion can be shared elsewhere, but not on my feed or in relation to my video.
And now it's so powerful. People do this thing called a stitch. So you'll take somebody else's content and you'll stitch, and then you'll stitch a reaction to it. Mm-hmm. People will actually bring up comments in a new video and respond to those comments. That's what's so beautiful about it to me, is how they'll engage with each other kind of back and forth and create this dialogue that's not always in an echo chamber. I have learned so much about myself and the world from TikTok. I did not know how ableist I was until I got on TikTok and was listening to real people who are navigating disability in the US and within, you know, kind of a COVID framework, that now I look at the world differently and how, oh, well, you know, I can walk all these steps because I can, but not everybody can. So there is absolutely a back and forth dialogue, politically, culturally, economically, environmental change, all the isms, all the atriarchies have this incredible dialogue. And I think that is what's scary.
Let me ask this. Those discussions seem to be green-lighted to a large extent on the other platforms as well. What isn't allowed on the other platforms is questioning the crisis in health that hit, I'm trying not to get demonetized, that hit the world over the last 3 years.
Are we not allowed
to
say the P word?
Yeah.
Are we not allowed to say the P word?
Or the C word? That sounds wrong.
We're not allowed to say that?
There's a virus that has attacked a lot of us. And then there was pharma's reaction to that, and the medical industry's reaction, and the government's reaction, and all that. And that's obviously, in the way that I'm talking, you can tell that I'm being very careful about discussing that on this platform, where I had no worry about you discussing issues of race and gender and culture and religion and finance and so forth. But that issue and the other issue that people were getting shut down for is questioning elections. So are those two topics safe on TikTok?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, people are talking about polymer. I'm trying to think of another B word. Yeah, people are talking about that all the time. And
starts with P and rhymes with academic.
There you go. And also like political motives, and also calling out who has financial interest in particular, you know, company. It really pulls back the curtain because there's an engaged citizenry there who is willing to do the research and report it, and then conversations begin. It's not the thing about TikTok, and I don't know how it works. Dude, I don't know how this algorithm works, but it's like creepy how well it's able to fine tune itself with your interests. I think your original reaction to TikTok as being frivolous is because if you don't give it at least 5 hours of your life, you're only going to be looking at like very surface stuff. When I first got on TikTok, I was being force fed like motherhood and family a lot. There was a ton of like moms, you know, showcasing their kids in matching pajamas, etc. Until I'd been on it long enough that my interest was registered through however this algorithm works, and then could tap into discourse. I mean, there's certainly all kinds of radicalization happening on TikTok at every intersection. It's just I happen to be on kind of this social change and activism side. Right. And, you know,
I think what's interesting is what you said about giving it time, because when I've gone on TikTok, which is few and far between, my feed, there's sort of a feed that they give you. If I remember correctly, it's been a while.
And that's called your For You page.
It was full of frivolous dancing and laughing and jokes and silly stuff. And then there was my feed of the people I follow, whose stuff has already come into my feed on Instagram or YouTube. Right? Like, if they're putting their stuff everywhere, I've probably already seen it or seen something like it on the other platforms where I spend more time. But you're basically telling me there's a whole universe of conversation out there that isn't taking place on those other platforms, and that it might be a good place to be a consumer, even if you're not super focused on being a creator on that platform.
I am not a creator on the platform at all. I've never posted anything, and I'm obsessed with the consumption of it because of these conversations and because of the first person POV. That allows you to like cease, you know, I learned so much about the Ohio, you know, train crash from people who were actually experiencing it on the ground versus what you were fed in the news. And that is such a powerful social bonding agent. And that's why I think
that's interesting, because I do see on Twitter or X videos that are taken from TikTok that are talking about what happened in Maui and what's not being said and what's not being covered. Mm-hmm. And here's a different angle on this, whether it's a different take or it's actually, hey, my cell phone was at this angle. Somebody else was, look what they didn't.
Oh, my God. Have you heard about the Alabama boat brawl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the amount of, yeah, POVs from that is bananas. And the cultural artistry that comes out of it, the satire, the comedy,
and the
commentary, all of that stuff, you're just not getting it when you're force fed from traditional news, and you're definitely not getting it on the other guys, for sure. I don't run into hardly any creators I actually know on TikTok at this point. So for me, having that double saturation of, well, I've seen it in a short, that's very rare as far as as fine-tuned as the algorithm is to my tastes and desires for content.
Now, I've read, I don't know if this is true or not, that the one thing you can't discuss on TikTok is the situation of the Uyghurs in China and their oppression, genocide.
I have not. You're absolutely right. I have never heard anybody talking about that. What I hear here is chattel slavery. What I hear here is the, you know, the privatization of prisons being modern slavery. What I hear here is the, you know, the racial disparity that fills prisons. What I hear here is the economic situation that creates, you know, a climate for crime, but not a criticism. In fact, I barely saw any stuff with the French riots. Mm. You're absolutely right about that. It's not a global perspective.
Let me bring up a question here. This is a great question from Claudia. Do you know how the monetization works on TikTok? Is it views? Do you need a certain amount of followers to monetize? And you may not have looked into that as a consumer, but you may know from conversations on the platform.
I wish somebody would pop that in the comments. I don't know. I mean, I do think that people who consider themselves to be influencers by trade have, you know, spent a lot of time on TikTok, and there is a transparency there amongst the creators of like, something's happened. It's called shadow banned. I'm shadow banned. My visibility isn't so much. There's open dialogue within creators about how they're either making it or not making it, or how the influencer career is, you know, just basically taking a pound of flesh. But in terms of how it actually works, I don't know how it actually works.
So Claudia says some of my artist entertainment industry friends are making mucho dinero on TikTok.
I see a lot of product placement. I see influencers who've been tasked to make basically ads in partnership to look like their original content, but I'm not sure how they're doing it.
Claudia says, so we have huge fires in Canada and people could not share news on Facebook because Canada doesn't allow Facebook to share news in Canada. And then Facebook has blocked its users in Canada from accessing news from other places. But in real time, people were sharing on TikTok. And she says she may reach out to them to see how they're doing it regarding monetization. And our friend Zach Bordeaux is here. Zach, great to see you.
CB's on TikTok.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. From our show, from what we're doing when we have our panel show where we have four panelists, we're going through a variety of topics. Would you use TikTok in some way to promote, raise interest in our show? And if so, what type of content do you think would work or not work on TikTok?
Boy, that's a question for Zach, who will be the one doing that. Not me, but necessarily. I don't know. I think that how we could maximize TikTok to promote this content would maybe be around extending conversations that we started, but don't, you know, go further down a rabbit hole, or duetting, which is like side by side, where it's maybe a point counterpoint, or rather than just like a reel or a clip of it,
right,
but how do we deepen the conversation? How do we, you know, kind of start talking to other creators? That's the thing that I think is the most like video Twitter-esque of it, mm-hmm. is dialogue between other creators. I tagged one of my mutuals on here, you should go, they're very supportive of each other, you should go check out Ross's full video. He makes an excellent point about, you know, how the government may not be really looking out for us here on TikTok. And now here I'm going to add my two cents to it. So that kind of additive layering of dialogue and expanding our reach amongst other creators to essentially co-create a conversation.
Right.
It's probably the way to go about it. But again, I'm not a creator here. I'm just a fan. I'm just a loving fan. And thrilled because I've learned so much about myself, about life, about like things I'm interested in, and really dismantled some, again, like I didn't know how ableist I was until I got on TikTok.
Claudia asks, how long are each of the videos, Max?
It used to be 3 minutes, and now you can go as long as 10. So generally, you're at that 3 minute mark, though.
Now, there was news today. I'm just going to, this is going to come up awkwardly on the screen, but I just want to throw it up because I grabbed this from Facebook, and it basically says, introducing podcasts on TikTok. Podcasts, a new way to connect and grow. Adding your podcast is easy. Just go to TikTok on your Mac or Windows desktop. I have no idea if that was officially put out by TikTok. Somebody made that. I haven't looked into whether this thing's live or not live. There has been talk, Rob Greenlee mentioned it in a past episode, that TikTok is working on adding podcasts, and I think that's interesting. I mean, is it podcasts as in you add your RSS feed, or is it like you take audio, an audio clip, and you make an audio TikTok thing about it? It's interesting to see what's going on. I mean, if anybody knows, please throw in the chat if you've experienced that at all. But that's all I found. I did a quick search on Google and a couple other platforms to see if there was anything in their news listing about it, and I didn't see anything like within the last 24 hours that said that was launched or live.
I can't imagine it's going to be the audio version. It would really have to be a video. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine someone like listening to TikTok, and it's such a visual consumptive medium for sure. I mean, certainly longer form is, you know, the experimental there. I don't see it being the same thing as like, I just slap, you know, a 2 minute bit out of my whole recording like I do on Reels or shorts for sure. I think it would be interesting for it to be more iteratively dialogue-y. But I haven't seen, and listen, I'm on TikTok sometimes like hours a day sometimes. Like I said, it's a new
I mean, you would think you would get in your feed somebody drop a how to add your podcast, or this is TikTok, here's our new feature, right? Like you would have gotten something like that.
I have not seen anything like that. There's a very famous TikToker. Her name, she goes by V. She has a show called Under the Desk News. She literally gets under the desk and gives like the 3 minute report. And she's a threat to cable television. Under the Desk News. I have one up here for you. She literally gets under the desk and delivers the news.
Can you
show
that?
She's definitely a threat. Yeah. I sure can. You keep going. I'm going to find it because I got it all right. Tabbed up.
So this sounds like a fun thing, Under the Desk News. And Claudia asks, is there lots of how-to videos? She asked that to you. I can say I've seen a fair amount in the tech area, which is what a lot of the people connected to me do.
Yeah.
But also with finance, like personal finance and job searching and things like that, probably from my HR side, I see some of that
100%. I almost showed a one where it's like a HR professional coaching you on how not to answer the question, why are you leaving this job. I learned how to grow garden scraps in my window from like garden fresh, like regrow broccoli and cabbage.
I learned how to
do that. I learned about a new IRS regulation coming in 2024. If you have an LLC, you have to file, some sort of form. And if you don't, the fine is $500 a day up to $10,000 that even my financial coaching and bookkeeping clients didn't know about yet. So there is a ton of how to, also like thought experimentation, try and think about this for the rest of the day and see if that changes your life. All right, I'm ready with Under the Desk News.
Fire away.
Okay, I should be sharing.
Hello? TikTok is not getting banned. I spoke with actual TikTok and Congressman Bowman's office, and I think I figured out where things went a little awry. I had seen people talking about TikTok maybe getting banned in the Hawley and Rubio amendments, but those were never voted on. Those were not included in the final draft of the defense budget. This is Josh Hawley's amendment that he did try to put into the national defense budget and that he will continue to try to bring to the floor for a vote as long as he's got a book on the shelf that needs selling. But as you can see, it's written in text, but there are zero actions. It was never voted on. It was never taken to the floor. And the same goes for Marco Rubio's amendment. He wrote it. He wanted to bring it to the floor when they were trying to pass the defense budget, but he did not. It was not voted on. There is no action. I'm going to link to the defense budget, the final draft that was passed by Congress. And you will find in there is no language at all whatsoever that speaks to any sort of TikTok ban or any sort of ban on public devices that could affect TikTok. talking about TikTok bans is real popular fodder. TikTok is not getting banned. In fact, the chatter around the halls of Congress are that the Restrict Act went so poorly that no one wants to touch it during an election season. If there's going to be a TikTok ban or there's even a threat of a TikTok ban, I promise you I will be the first to let you know, or one of the first. But despite some people's best efforts, this app is safe as ever. Hello? TikTok is not getting banned.
What a roundup.
So that's interesting. Because she didn't go into the negotiations part, which I don't know was released when she had done that. But one of the interesting things in that those documents was it seemed like it was up in the air whether it would be the Department of Defense or the Department of Justice that would be overseeing the implementation or the compliance with if that negotiated agreement went through, meaning how much was the management of TikTok following the terms and, you know, who can get the data and what have you, you know, which was interesting. I know Trump tried to ban it tried to ban TikTok in 2020. I think the court ruled that they hadn't done proper due diligence or something like that. They hadn't been given their fair review or whatever. And so I'm sure there'll be more attempts. Like I said, it was a pretty bipartisan affair overall. And when they brought the CEO in and read him the riot act not too long ago.
I'll also note that another plug for Yay TikTok is just the creativity of it. Human creativity.
Yeah.
It's just a place where I haven't seen it such a cool collaborative environment that doesn't have to be two people who actually know each other. Ross, will you let me show one more?
Sure.
To that end?
Yeah.
Thanks. It's short.
When you're ready.
Yeah.
Has become downright dangerous.
I'm a flight attendant. That means I attend the flights. Sometimes
I'll go down a little. Yeah, there
you go.
Crazy people. If you push us too far, you're going to have to attend this ass whooping. You see, because on this particular flight, I'm sitting in a jump seat. And I'm just looking at him at the damn fool. He's spitting and cussing and going crazy. I say, that's enough.
That's it, Ross. Just like you can take a full little news clip from somebody POVing on the street and add a piano soundtrack to it. I just think the human creativity is so neat here.
Now, was the guy on the bottom actually the guy who did it and playing that? Or was the guy on the top... who was talking, did he grab the soundtrack?
It's the guy in the playing piano who put this out. So he went and got like a news clip and then just added music to it.
Now, is that what you call a duet?
That's what you would call that a duet, yeah.
And that stitching together your own video was something that was recorded before.
That a stitch is different. A stitch is... when I would take something recorded before and then I would respond to it. So I would basically like take the bottom half of what you did and then I would then add, you know, more. So I'd be like, Ross has a good point, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is a duet where it's like two people side by side and oftentimes more people will come in. I've seen like a clip where, you know, it's like a kid singing in a school play and then somebody brings in the drums. And then a totally unknown other person comes in with a guitar and then a totally unknown. So it's building a cultural product over time without collaboration. It's just like keep adding and adding and improving and iterating and creating something completely new every time.
So like a horn section takes this and then adds horns to it. And then
exactly right. Adds a hip hop beat.
A drummer comes in, or you know, a drum machine. Or
that's exactly right. So to me, that's so neat. You're collaborating through the platform with people you don't know without a conversation and creating something totally new interesting. So not only do I love the discourse and the dialogue and the deconstruction and the education and pulling back the curtain on the all powerful and knowing Oz, but I also think this is such a beautiful tribute to creativity, whether you're, you know, again, kind of just using your eye movements to tell a story with your wooden spoons, or you're taking a news clip and you're adding a soundtrack to it and creating this beautiful piece of music. And just, I would just be real sad to see this get squashed.
Wow. Well, thank you for bringing all that, all those clips along, and sharing your experiences as somebody who consumes a lot. I think we got to this topic through what was in the news about negotiations with TikTok and national security and all that. But I think for as long as this app stays around, I think people hopefully picked up some tips as far as what's on the platform, what to watch, or even
it's
what
not just a bunch of vacuous girls dancing. I promise. There is good. Thank you, Ross, for letting me clunk through some of my shares here. I know they could have been stitched together better, but it was really fun to be able to show off something that I'm completely jazzed about to live in this moment in time.
Very nice. Thank you. And next week, Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back with another episode of the Stream Leader Report live panel. Hopefully, we will have Rob Greenlee and Claudia Santiago back with us. And we'll do four topics or more, and it'll be a typical show. But this was a really fun change of pace, and I know I learned a lot. I hope you did as well. Rebecca, thanks again for doing this.
Hey, RB, anytime. You all say right. Live stream, I say how long.
All right, we did a show. Thank you. Take care, everybody.